Welcome to Westwood Church. It is good to gather together on this Sunday, June 7th. We gather together in a moment in the world where we are hungry for reminders of God's grace and our belonging together. We come together in a world where pandemic continues to ravage the health of communities, where the evil of racism is especially visible in the protests of people gathered to speak up for the dignity and worth, the blessedness and beauty of Black lives and bodies. We gather together as a congregation marking seasonal moments, as we celebrate the graduates in our community, as we give Bibles to our young people, as we welcome a new pastor, as we celebrate Holy Communion. All of this is joy. I'm especially glad that this morning we get to welcome our new pastor, Terrence Higgins, to be with us today. You'll hear him read scripture and get to share in blessing and prayer over him later this morning. But I want you to know that you are welcome, whoever you are and wherever you are. We gather together as a diverse body in scattered geographies, coming together, seeking after the love of God. I hope you feel at home in this place. We are pleased to welcome all God's children, regardless of age or race, economic condition, sexual orientation, or gender identity. We gather together seeking the grace of God for this time and place. I hope that you'll participate as much as you're able from where you are. You can download and print out the worship guide so you can read prayers and sing songs along with us. I hope you will feel the presence of God moving in our midst together. I encourage you to make a comment here on the video live stream so that we can know that you're here, so that we can see one another and be gathered together as the community that is Christ's body. May the peace of Christ be with you. Great God of light, and all day long you are working for good in the world. Stir up in us desire to serve you, to live peacefully with our neighbors, and to devote each day to your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ the Lord.
Dear graduate, we, your church family, wanted to write you a letter to express how we feel about your awesomeness.
We wish we could be with you today to hug, high five, and take photos together. We'd have a potluck, eat too much, and laugh twice as much.
Even though we can't be in the same room, that doesn't stop us from being proud of you, your accomplishments, and of the more holy you you are becoming.
Whether you are leaving high school, off to more school somewhere exciting, or entering the professional world, you are a graduate. You were challenged and pushed and graded and assessed, and you passed those tests.
You were confronted with hurdles and obstacles, objections and rejections, and here you are, having accomplished.
You achieved. You graduated.
As you celebrate, may your joy be complete, having made the source of your life proud. You are a beautifully and wonderfully made creation.
As you rest, may you have peace in knowing that you have glorified God with your intellect, your talent, and your ability.
And as you enter this new season of life, may your heart be turned to the same direction as the one who is reaching out to redeem all things.
Our prayer for you is that as you look from where you've been to where you're headed, you'll find that you've become a little bit more like the God of love along the way.
We give thanks for you. We're so proud of you.
Congratulations.
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 Today is a very special day for our fourth and fifth graders because they are receiving their Bibles. And they're very special Bibles that are kind of helpful with children's perceptions. They have stickers in them. They are lovely, and they most especially are a gift from our church to our children to help them grow in their faith. And so as you watch these videos of children receiving their Bibles at their homes, all done very safely with masks on from the deliverer, then you will find some real joy in participating in this transmitting of the tradition, the scripture that we base our faith on. So it is time now for us to say a prayer for these Bibles and those who will read them. God, in your mercy, give us the grace to be able to teach our children through this written word. Help them to understand what it is that you have to say, and help them to grow in their faith, knowing that they are not alone, that this church is with them, and that you are with them day and night for all of eternity. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hi guys, congratulations on receiving your Bibles. Very, very proud. My name is Maggie, if you don't know me. I recently graduated from college, Belmont University in Nashville, Tennessee, but I'm back home in LA. I remember how excited I was when I first got my Bible because I was like, oh my goodness, a big girl Bible, wow. But yeah, congrats.
Even though many of our students still have a little bit more school left, today, as we give Bibles to our fourth and fifth graders, we also want to welcome our younger students into the next grade level. So we have a word from each of our teachers welcoming students to the new grade that they'll be in this fall.
Hi, kids. I miss you guys. Welcome to Preschool Sunday School. We're going to have some new little kids coming.
Welcome to the pre-K and kindergarten class. I'm Miss Sadie, and we look forward to seeing you in person. We miss you so much. Take care, be safe, and be well. See you soon.
Hi, children. It's Miss Ruth, the choir teacher. I really miss singing with you guys.
Hi, first and second graders. Welcome to our class. I'm so excited to be able to see you all sometime soon.
Hi, everyone. I'm Teacher Stephanie, and I'm here with new preschooler Elizabeth and new first grader Christopher. and I want to welcome all the new first and second grade Westwood kids. I miss you guys so much, and I can't wait to be back together again in our church. Until then, have a really, really happy and safe summer.
Hello. I want to say I miss you so much. We've been apart for many, many days. But I want to say, I know you're going into third grade, so welcome to the third grade. And pretty soon, hopefully, we'll all be together at church. Meanwhile, God bless you, stay well, and do something for someone else. That's God's love just spreading out. We love you.
Welcome, fourth and fifth graders. We have a new class for you. We don't have a name yet because we want you to help name it, but it's going to be exciting.
Good morning, my beautiful little children. I really, really miss you guys, and I hope we can see you soon.
Enjoy Sunday school. Enjoy Zoom church. I don't know what's going on, but enjoy it. You are an awesome kid. All of you. This is a message to you. You are awesome, and you are a kid, and enjoy it.
Our first scripture reading is from Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a dome in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." So God made the dome and separated the waters that were under the dome from the waters that were above the dome. And it was so. God called the dome sky, and there was evening and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things and wild animals of the earth of every kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind and the cattle of every kind and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." God said, "See, I have given you every plant-yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth, every tree with seed in its fruit, you shall have them for food, and to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps upon the earth, everything that has life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw everything he had made, and indeed, it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus, the heavens and the earth were finished, and all their multitude. And on the seventh day, God finished the work that he had done, and he rested. And on the seventh day, from all the work he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work he had done in creation. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let's
Our gospel reading is from Matthew chapter 28. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Triune God, we come into this online space today grateful for your presence here and everywhere, and we ask that in these moments your presence and your wisdom would be clear, that the words I speak and the message we hear would be a blessing to you and all creation. We pray in your holy name. Amen. This morning we celebrate as a lot of things are happening in the midst of our world. We are in the midst of a pandemic, which for months now has changed the ways we move through the world, has continued to contribute to a mounting toll of death and grief and mourning that has been borne by too many in our world, and disproportionately by communities of color and the economically disadvantaged. In the midst of that reality, in these past week and a half, we have seen an eruption of protest giving voice to a long simmering reality that is the depth and power, the trauma and consequence of the racism built into our society. We discover that it has consequences for the well-being and life of Black citizens of our country, and that it's borne out not only in interpersonal reactions, in the way policing happens in our communities, but also in the political and economic and social structures that all of us rely on for everyday life. The eruption of this protest has called our attention to the particular grief of Black people killed by police without consequence. And only in the lifting of the attention of these scenes and the capturing of them on videotape and the sharing online have we begun the work of calling to account the consequences of these deadly actions. The process is ongoing, and our voices are making a difference, but there is so much further yet to go. In the midst of these present realities, we also continue to move on with the things of life that happen in our yearly cycle. We celebrate this morning our graduates, giving thanks for the privilege and gift of education, for the ways that it prepares and equips and shapes us to be ready to be citizens of this world, to offer our gifts in theology and theater and science for the sake of the whole community. We celebrate and give thanks for all those who've made this educational achievement possible, for the persistence of the students, but also for teachers and mentors and families of support. These accomplishments are significant. This morning, we also mark the periodic tradition of giving Bibles to our children. this year to the incoming fourth and fifth grade class, the students finishing third and fourth grade. In the fall, they'll be part of a new Sunday school class grouping here at the church, and we want them to have the scriptural text of their own in order to read and seek understanding of God's holy word, of this beautiful part of our church tradition, to wrestle with understanding and to come to their own beliefs about faith as they seek to understand what Scripture says into this world today. We also mark a transition and passage in our congregation as we welcome in a new pastor, Terrence Higgins, as we prepare next week to bid farewell to Pastor Darren as she heads to a new appointment. All of these rhythms and changes are a part of our community life, and they remind us that life goes on, and that we're invited in the midst of our rhythms to stay attentive to these bigger pictures that have significant consequence. This morning we also celebrate Holy Communion, a sacrament that reminds us of our unity together. And in this time in which we're physically separated from one another, we're ever more needful of reminders of our belonging together in Christ. And so today we wrestle with all of these things, what they have to say to each other. And for this morning, we have two beautiful texts in our scripture to help us do this work. They are two texts that are very well known within our Christian community. First, from the first chapter of the first book of our Christian Bible, Genesis, we have this story of creation, which is a poetic account of the beginning of everything that is. Over the span of 7 days, God, with tremendous power, calls the world into being, and over at the conclusion of each day, declares its goodness. We have significant challenges in sifting through layers of interpretation that may have come to us from the broader Christian community that we might feel like our difficult complexities that we would like to unpack in order to reveal something that makes this story still have meaning for us today. Too often in our Christian community, especially in U.S. America, we have suggested that this story is a literal account of the beginning of things, that it requires suspending any belief in science, in countering cosmic and evolutionary science to assert the truth of these verses. But I believe we have to do no such thing, that these are doing something else entirely. They are helping us understand who God is and what our relationship is. And in poetic form, from the ancient Near East, they come as a counter-narrative to other stories told by other people about who God is or who the gods are. This God in Genesis, the God we claim to belong with even today, asserts a oneness. And yet, from the beginning, this God's oneness is not an aloneness or an individualism. From the very beginning of these verses, we're told that there with God, as the world is spoken into being, there is a spirit hovering over the face of the deep. There is a companionship from the first that is a God and something more, or a God in relationship. God is not an individual entity, but God is somehow in relationship from the beginning. We skipped over several of the days of creation in order to get to day six, when creatures and humankind are created in God's own image. It's a powerful reminder both that our God's identity in the pronouns used here is not as an individual, but in our own likeness, Scripture says, speaking from God's perspective, in our own likeness, we created the male and female, humankind. It's a reminder of the preciousness of creation, the preciousness of humans, the belovedness and the goodness, the delight that God has in all of who we are. These days, more than ever, we are compelled and called to believe in and see the image of God imprinted on every human life, in particular in this moment of our nation and city, of our culture. We are compelled to declare the belovedness, the blessedness, and the image of God in Black lives and bodies, because our systems have continuously and systematically denied their value and legitimacy. And so as we hear these verses today affirming the goodness of everything that it is, I hope you hear an invitation to dare to see others with that same belovedness. And in a moment of political division, we're challenged to believe that this also carries over to our opponents in the system, that though we oppose one another strongly and we advocate with all that we have against unjust policies, we as Christians are called to remember that those we oppose also bear the image of God. And so our opposition is not against them as people, but the system, the injustice, the oppression that they perpetuate. This is a hard calling, but one that requires our attention because the gospel's claim on us has changed everything. The other scripture that we shared today is from the Gospel of Matthew. It's the very final verses in the whole of the gospel. We have come to call these the Great Commission, but Matthew didn't write that title. That was a title later given by the church. And as we read these verses from the conclusion of the Gospel of Matthew, we have to acknowledge that they have been used in harmful ways over the centuries to justify the perpetuation of political and social power by the church. We've taken them as license to take our way of being and believing and compel others to believe in the same way, as if somehow it was a holy work to turn them into Christians in our system and way of understanding. And too often, as this came with evangelists who traveled the world with colonial power alongside them, it has meant accepting a subjugated role in the power structures of the community that's formed. When Jesus gives instructions to these disciples gathered with him back in the Galilee after his resurrection, he is not speaking as one who holds earthly political or economic power. In fact, this whole chapter, chapter 28, the conclusion of the Gospel of Matthew, is an unlikely unfolding of the end of this gospel, which becomes a beginning for the life of the church. Chapter 28 starts with the Easter morning account of resurrection as some women discover the empty tomb and are greeted by angels. Later, Jesus himself appears to them and sends them to go tell the disciples. It's women who Jesus sends to bear this message of good news. He's just been crucified by the state in a collusion of religious and political power that saw his life as a threat and put him to death on a cross. Having given up life then, resurrection begins in this early morning encounter with some women who carry this message. Then there's a few verses that tell of the fear born still by the religious and political powers of the time who craft a story about his body having been stolen to prevent consequences from the political powers against the religious powers that would have been debilitating. Still, even after his death, the powers that be are threatened by what might come from the story of his resurrection. It's after that that Jesus assembles on this mountaintop with some of his disciples. The 11 gather there, and he, the one who's been killed by the state and stands there in resurrected form on the mountaintop, tells them that all authority on earth and in heaven are given to them. So they should go and make disciples of people everywhere, of all the nations, not just of people like them, but of everyone, that they should baptize others and welcome them into the life of the community in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and that he will be with them always. As he speaks these words, he speaks of one who has been dispossessed of earthly power, but who carries with him a truer power, a power that comes because of his belonging in the eternal love of God. And this sending that he offers to the disciples is not the sending of powerful forces against others, but the sending that sends a humble and disempowered crew to go carry a message of liberation to the whole of the world. To follow Jesus' commandments means to love neighbor as you love yourself. Somehow, over the generations and centuries of the Christian community, we have very often gotten this wrong. We have heard this as license to reinforce our own ways of being and doing things, a free pass to do whatever we want to protect the power that we have. But in this moment, as Jesus gathers in that morning, in that day of resurrection, in that season of resurrection, he sends them simply to be the church with only the power of the conviction of this deep truth that his love, that his grace has a power more significant than anything else. Accessing these messages in our scripture takes this careful work of unpacking the layers of interpretation that have been put on by the life of the church. It also requires acknowledging that as Matthew writes these words, he's speaking from more than a generation after Jesus' death and resurrection. And so he's already applying in his telling of the story new ways of understanding and naming God that have come into practice in this life of the earliest church when he uses the formula of the Trinity, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He's already applying these ideas that have come in the early church to help understand the identity that solidifies people together. And this Trinitarian identity that is unity for the church is one that reminds us of relationship. The Trinity is our Christian way of articulating that our God exists in relationship, not in isolation, but together. And on this morning, as we celebrate this moment in the life of our church, as we celebrate the coming of a new pastor, as we celebrate the achievements of our graduates and give scripture to our young people that they might engage in the lifelong work of wrestling with understanding in scripture, we give thanks for the power and authority that we claim because of the gift of God, because of our belonging in relationship. And this is a tool that we're going to need because we are this day in the midst of challenges that are more significant than we've faced in a long while. The challenge of dismantling the systems of oppression and violence that are a part of the racism of our community and politics, our church and our culture. And the question of reopening our world in the wake of pandemic. These are moments of opportunity, of transitions, as significant perhaps as that one that the disciples stood in as they encountered the resurrected Christ. A moment of tremendous change and opportunity, openness to new ways of seeing, a leverage point in the story of our nation and community into which we might speak a word of hope and a word of justice and a word of life. It's going to require careful work, and I am joining you in doing this careful work of uncovering and unpacking the stories of our own community and world, of acknowledging the ways that we also have participated in the perpetuation of these systems that are life for some and death for others. In the midst of this moment, we're called to do the difficult work of wrestling with our present reality. And as a white Christian, as the leader of a predominantly white congregation, we have work to do. It comes because we're compelled to do this work, because we see one another as being siblings in Christ, as belonging together in the work of this community. This work belongs in our neighborhood and in all neighborhoods. Even this week, as protests continue, as the city held a nightly curfew, so many were arrested and held by police. In one particularly complex and fraught incident, our police held those arrested for protesting in a parking lot next to the stadium we call Jackie Robinson Stadium. It's property owned by the federal government, but under lease from UCLA, on which the Jackie Robinson Baseball Stadium stands. There, that site previously had been the location for testing for COVID-19, but in the past week became a site used by local law enforcement authorities to hold and process people who were arrested. The particular tension of those arrested for protesting violence against Black lives in the parking lot of a stadium named for Jackie Robinson, the first African American player that our white baseball system allowed to play That tension is not lost on us as we wrestle with the complexity of living in a world where we want to be better, but we have so much work to do in order to really be better. Too often in our world, we become protective and defensive of our systems because it feels like a threat to our very selves. But it requires, this moment requires, the gospel demands of vulnerability that opens up our hearts to see the importance, the beauty, and the value of this difficult work. This week, we've seen religion used as a prop, as our president held a Bible in front of a boarded up church as if it were endorsement and authority given for his actions, so many of which counter the call of the gospel toward justice. Even the photo op itself required the tear gassing and pushing back of peaceful protesters so that he could make his way across the street to that church. This is not the authority that Matthew's gospel speaks about in the Great Commission, as Jesus gives authority to those 11 gathered with this message of salvation and resurrection. That is not what authority looks like. It's not the political and military force that allows us to get our way. Authority in the gospel, instead, is a power that works through self-offering, through opening of hearts, through giving of selves to the work of our common good. This is the authority that Christ offers to us today, and one that we are invited to take up because it matters, because Black lives matter, because the gospel means something for us and the world. We who claim our unity in Christ cannot be satisfied until our world better reflects the fullness of life that God desires for all. So this day, as we prepare to welcome a new pastor and to share in the sacrament of Holy Communion, I pray that you would let your heart be broken open to dare to experience the gift of vulnerability, to learn more about who we are, to become the people we're called to be in Christ. May it be so.
Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, we praise you for the goodness of all creation, for your ordering of chaos into land and sky and sea, and creatures of every kind that sustain life and life abundant. We praise you for the goodness of our createdness, that by our particularities and diversity, we may reflect to one another your divine image and likeness. We celebrate that your voice, which created all things, still speaks to us this day with words of challenge, forgiveness, and grace. Despite your presence and guidance with us, we have fallen into disordered living, both as individuals and as a society. Though you teach us how to live in community, we seek status, wealth, and privilege for ourselves. Though you teach us how to have compassion for the suffering, we prioritize our comforts above what keeps our neighbors safe. Though you empower us to serve in the stewardship of your created world, we deplete life-giving soil and pollute the air we breathe for capital gain. Though you create all things and call them good, we fail in our striving to see the world with your eyes. Forgive in us our self-centeredness and self-consciousness, our apathy and avoidance. Stir in us the courage to go as you have commissioned us to amplify your voice, to bear your witness, and to love every person as a precious and beloved child of God. Merciful God, do not give up on us. Do not leave us in our pain or in our ignorance, but draw us ever back to the path of righteousness. We give thanks for your church and for this congregation that assures us of your unmerited grace, that supports and cares for us in our need and challenges us to ever strive for your promised kingdom together. We give thanks for those who are faithful to your call to lead us, both within and outside your church, in the ways of justice and mercy and peace. And for all the saints whose lives have carried us this far. Embolden and equip each of us to stand bravely in the discomforts of our societal unrest and proclaim your vision of hope. Fortify us in our weariness. Uphold those who carry the heaviest loads through this chaotic season. We pray especially for the Black community. We pray especially for the rising number of families affected by the coronavirus. We pray for those who provide primary care for others and for all who are at risk of diminished and disordered mental health. We pray for those who are quarantined in unsafe or non-affirming conditions. Breathe into us your breath of life. May it fill our hearts and bodies with your strength and peace that we may continue to serve you in every place to which we are sent. We pray all of these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, in whom we pray. Amen.
Hi, I'm Catherine Fuller. I'm one of the lay leaders from the sanctuary.
I'm Elliot Hines, the other lay leader from the sanctuary. Good morning.
Good morning. And a wonderful morning it is, too, because we have the pleasure of welcoming a very gifted pastor into our midst. Terrence will primarily be in the loft, but we're going to hope to see him a lot in the sanctuary, too. I think Terrence is really uniquely gifted to help us make our way through this time. And we really would love to welcome you.
Yes, Terrence, welcome. And in the spirit of the New Testament, we do that with the fullness of our hearts and our minds.
We have a couple of gifts that we offer to you, Terrence, on behalf of the congregation. So can I ask you to pull them out? The first is, he's gonna act surprised because he hasn't seen these before, except in the loft recording we made earlier today. A microphone, because we're excited for his voice. We wanna pass him the mic. We believe he's got a word to share with us in this space. And we're all recording from our homes, so it's especially useful to have a microphone of your own. And the other is a stole, a clergy stole that I made that is a gift from our congregation to honor and mark his authority as a pastoral leader in our midst. So we offer them to you with blessing. But we also want to invite everyone who's participating in worship online today to invite you all to have a part in praying blessing on Terrence as he begins this ministry with us. So I invite you to join us in prayer. Siblings in Christ, as a people committed to participate in the ministries of the church, by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, and your service, will you celebrate this new beginning, support and uphold Terrence in this ministry with us?
We affirm our commitment to support you with our prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness. Let us pray. Eternal God, strengthen and sustain us in our ministries together. With Terrence as one of our pastors, give him and us patience, courage, and wisdom so to care for one another and challenge one another, that together we may follow Jesus Christ, living together in love and offering our gifts and talents in your service. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, you still call us to go into your service and spread the message of the salvation of your Son. Bless richly, we pray, your servant Terence's entrance into our fellowship. Fill him with the power of your Holy Spirit and let him find with us an open door for the word. All this we dare to pray of you, for you are to us the God of all grace. You are the Son, the Savior, and the Redeemer. You are the Holy Spirit, the Helper, and the Giver of life. Blessed be you. Amen.
As we gather here today in the sight of God to join in Holy Communion, we know that we are only a screen width apart. The God of all creation is not beholden to the bounds of time or place. God transcends our physical distances and parts the veil between us so that we may be together in this mystical space. Through God and the mystery of Holy Communion, we become one creation, one body, one church. All who desire to share in this mystery, declaring both our hunger for grace and our love of Christ, are welcome. Let us pray together in confession. Incarnate God, for the times we've hurt you, forgive us. For the times we've hurt others, forgive us. For the times we've hurt ourselves, forgive us. For we are made in your image, and it is very good. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are a forgiven people. Glory to God. Amen. Together we share a table that connects our separate spaces. Now is the time to set Christ's table. I ask you now to collect what elements you may have to serve as your bread and fruit of the vine, knowing that divine grace will justify your choices in the sight of God. Thank you.
God is with you and also with you.
It is good to be joyful as we give thanks to you, Holy God. You created us in your image and gave us life with your breath. Your love does not falter, even as we neglect that love. You liberated us from bondage and continue to ease our burden.
With joy and with all of creation, we proclaim, Holy, 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 God of power and grace, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest.
You are holy, God, and blessed is your child, Jesus. Your spirit descended upon him so that he could proclaim good news to the poor, heal the sick, feed the hungry, cavort with sinners, and liberate the captives.
His life gave birth to the church through a new covenant, one born out of the Holy Spirit, whose power dwells within us today.
On the night in which he gave himself over, Jesus took bread, gave thanks to you, God, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
After dinner, he took the cup, gave thanks, and said, "This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many. Do this in remembrance of me."
In remembering the mighty acts of Jesus, we offer ourselves as a living witness, proclaiming the mystery of faith. Christ has died.
Christ has died.
Christ has risen.
Christ has risen.
Christ will come again.
Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on all those gathered together in this holy space and time, and on these gifts, these elements. Make them be for us the body and blood of Jesus Christ, that we may be the body of Christ for the world.
Your Spirit makes us one with Christ and one with each other. It binds, blends, and multiplies us as we minister to the world, as one beloved community of faith, singing your praises on earth and in heaven until Christ comes again and we feast at the divine table in perfect harmony. All honor and glory are yours, God, now and forever.
Amen.
With confidence, let us pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
This bread is made from many grains, from many fields, yet was formed from a single loaf. Because there is one God, we, though many and in many places, are one body. Join us as we partake in the body of Christ in remembrance of him. The body of Christ given for you.
This fruit of the vine is made by many hands in many places, yet pours freely. Join us as we share in this blessing of the cup of the new covenant. The cup a blessing poured out for you and for all.
Let us pray. Eternal God, thank you for this mystery of faith where you have given yourself to us. May we go into the world strengthened by your Spirit in a spirit of generosity, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
thank you for being with us for worship today. We're glad you were a part of this community gathered online. I want to invite you to be a part of the whole of the life of our church. I encourage you to sign up for our weekly e-news if you're not already on the list. You can do that at the bottom of our website, westwoodumc.org. We also invite you to be a part of a follow-up this morning that Pastor Darren is helping gather together as an opening conversation about anti-racism work amongst our community. We invite you to join in there. I want to give my gratitude to everyone who's able to support the work of our church and our ministries in any way. We continue to be grateful for those who offer tithes and offerings in support of our work. I want to remind you that you can do that online through our website or by mail. Thank you for being with us today. And now, into a world that is heavy with the real grief of pandemic and the challenges it brings, that is burdened by the reality of the trauma of racism in our midst, and voices lifting to find another way. Into that world, I invite you to go forth to speak up for love and justice. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Go in peace. Amen.